This is where they are building the largest nuclear fusion reactor in the world.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me I had to check out this pool.
America on Main Street and at the dinner table is talking about infrastructure when 20 years ago, they didn't even know what that meant.
Today, those towers are an astounding display of wealth, prestige, and engineering firsts.
It's impacting everyday Americans.
I am against the train. The way it's being done right now.
New York City housing is a scam. It is a scam, 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 scam.
The Shard in central London is being officially opened today, and at 310 metres tall, it's Europe's newest and tallest skyscraper.
Hello, I'm Fred Mills.
And this is the world's best construction podcast
by the B1M. Bonjour, you're listening to your latest episode of the World's Best Construction Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Trimble Construction. I'm your host, Fred, and as ever, we've got a fantastic blend of me, Luke, and Liam co-hosting today. I'll come to Liam first this week. How you doing, mate?
Ah, merci, Fred, merci. Yeah, good, mate. I'm good. Brushing up on my high school French there. I'm great, mate. I'm good. Life's pretty good over here. Pretty busy. A lot going on with work, actually. Got a few trips coming up. Going to see Theo Von this weekend, the comedian. Ooh. I don't think you'll know who he is, mate. Luke, you'll probably know who Theo is.
Yeah, I know who Theo is. Mm. Big time. Yeah.
Funny
yeah,
boy.
Yeah. Trailer park boy. Yeah. Funny guy. Funny
was
guy.
He playing the Opera House, is he? It's the only venue you've guys got, isn't it?
I think it's called the ICC, mate. To be fair, I haven't actually heard of the venue that I'm going to. Could be like one of those community halls, for all I know.
Yeah. Oh, hey, nothing wrong with the community hall. Mm. Don't knock that. Mm. Yeah, How you doing, Luke? How's things in your neck of the woods?
Good, mate. Really good. I saw Dune 2.
Yeah, don't tell me what happened. I want to watch that.
It's
everyone's talking about it.
It's exceptional.
Ever.
Yeah,
this has knocked Shawshank Redemption off the top IMDb spot.
What
did you you see the first one, Liam?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I'm okay. I'm going to see the next one, second one, hopefully Sunday.
Hang on, mate. Is it narrated by Morgan Freeman?
Might just well be. It's that much of an epic.
It can't be better than Shawshank.
I can't say. What if Liam's waiting to see it? I'm not going to say, but yeah. I'll say this. I was surprised not to see, you know, like a Saudi Arabia, the line in the film. Yeah. Because it looks that dystopian. It looks that just alien. There is a few moments in it.
Big news breaking yesterday. Sorry. Big news that's come out is that Saudi Arabia is apparently working with Foster and Partners on a 2 kilometer tall skyscraper. Apparently they're building this thing that's going to be like more than twice the height of the Burj Khalifa, double the height of Jeddah Tower. This is Architects Journal got it. They got the news. It's like an exclusive. All it says is like sources said, and apparently Foster and Partners are working on it. It's going to be north of Riyadh. But I mean, like
2 kilometers is massive.
Come on. That is ridiculous. They can't even build Jeddah Tower. Come on.
It's getting a bit, you know, boy who cried wolf, isn't it? At times, right? These Saudi announcements. Does it feel like that sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they are. I mean, they probably do want the world's tallest building in their country. Yeah. Given everything else they're building, it wouldn't surprise me. But that, like, there are so many questions that come up about that. It's ridiculous. But yeah, we had a bit of fun on social media with that yesterday. Probably got a bit out of my box, but anyway.
Maybe you should throw your hat in the ring, mate. Maybe throw a design to them. They might like that. Yeah. What's your CV like? You'd be like, well, I worked on the hospital. What bit?
Oh, all right. Was that a bit like the hospital. Construction career?
I've never done anything, mate. I've never done anything.
No, well, you like the walkie-talkie, so why don't you just back up away from that keyboard and calm down a bit?
A 2 kilometer walkie talkie, mate. Yes, please. Oh. Why not?
Most of that's the aerial.
Also, I'm sorry if you can hear anything. My neighbours are getting a kitchen or a bathroom fitted. So you might hear random times, but I'll try and be quiet.
Who's a cup of tea, Gary?
Yeah. He does look like a Gary. I was just looking out my window. So I'm like, yeah, he could be a Gary.
What looks like a Gary? Come on.
Brunette, dark hair, bit miserable. done
Fred Mills. Explain Fred.
Very good.
Goodbye to every Gary listening.
What's been happening with you, Fred? Been doing a bit of training over there, I see, mate.
Here we go. This is Liam teeing up to have a dig at me, right? Right. So I've, having had a ruptured disc and all sorts of problems in my lower back, L5 in my spine over a couple of years, I've got back, I've rehabilitated myself, and this week I got a PB squat, 100 kilogram squat, which I didn't think was that great because lots of other people squat enormous figures and I felt a bit inferior. Anyway, my trainer popped it up on Instagram. And I got lots of nice messages. I got an inbox full of people going, you know, clapping, well done, you're killing it, mate. The little fire emoji. Then I got a message from Liam Marsh going, that's a misrep.
Was it a rep? I'm sorry. Your bum didn't go to your knees or below it. You
built up to it. I'd wave load built up to it, and the other ones were all deeper. That was my final rep, like a set of six.
Oh, okay. Man.
Sorry, six sets of ten. Yeah. My final rep.
Yeah,
and I was a bit scared because it was 100 kilograms, so I could have gone lower. But thank you, Liam, for keeping me grounded. Much appreciate that, mate.
No reps and no rep, mate.
What can you squat?
Me. Mate, I haven't done a back squat in about 15 years because I've got the same, similar back issues.
So you also can stick your little vehicle in reverse back away from that keyboard and stop criticizing Fred Mills. Quite outrageous.
It's just not worth it, mate. I don't know. With the back issues, I'm just like, I just stay away. I do lunges way better for my back.
Yeah,
avoid compressing that spine, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, it all feels a lot stronger for me now. As my legs have got stronger, my lower back feels better. This is a great conversation for people listening. I know this might not be what you're interested in hearing. Swinging it on to today's episode, we are talking about the billion-dollar plan to fix Paris's dirty secret, possibly the best title video we've ever released on the B1M. Came out earlier this week. We're also talking about Brisbane's breathing skyscraper, Beijing's dramatic new library, and the whole episode is going to be sprinkled with some of your messages and comments from the week. Let's do it. Let's get cracking. Let's go. First this week, we are talking about the billion-dollar plan to fix Paris's dirty secrets, a video that came out on the B1M earlier this week. Now, as you probably guessed from that title, Paris has a problem. Its river, the Seine, is heavily polluted with high levels of wastewater and sewage. Swimming here puts you at risk of contracting E. coli and incurs a €15 fine. You're not allowed to swim in the River Seine because it's dangerous. Beneath the surface are 1.9 million cubic meters of untreated wastewater. Now, there has been a major cleanup effort that's already resulted in some 360 tons of stuff being pulled out each year. That is everything from electronics, TVs, cars. We've got some footage of stuff that comes out of this river in the video. Pretty shocking. But they're working on making it cleaner. As I said, 2022 saw a 90% reduction in pollution in the river. The main challenge now is coming from the sky and the weather. Basically, because of Paris's outdated 19th century sewer system, heavy rain and storms can basically cause a surge in the system, which then flushes large amounts of sewage into the river, which is an ongoing problem. Much like London, as the 19th century sewer system has creaked and had to cope with a much bigger and bigger city, a city that was no longer designed for, it's now failing and you're getting loads of wastewater going into the river, which is pretty shocking, nasty stuff. Were you guys aware of this? The beautiful, romantic River Seine, not quite as clean as it's made out to be?
I had no idea you could catch E. coli if you go in it. That's pretty... apocalyptic, does it not?
Apocalyptic.
The start of a zombie movie.
I did these like Tough Mudder things. I did like a Men's Health Survival of the Fittest one a few years back, and part of it was running through like a tributary to the River Thames. You had to run down this sort of like canal, this sort of drained canal, and I was fine, but two people caught Wheels disease from it. So, Wheels disease from running in the river. It was horrible. And there was a disclaimer we signed that's like, basically, you can't blame us if you contract something nasty. But yeah, I'm aware of watercourses in cities not being that clean. So, my little anecdote for you there. There is now an Insen project to clean this up. You're welcome, guys. We love that pun. Paris is spending $1.5 billion constructing a massive storage treatment return basin. That is a storage treatment return basin in Austerlitz, which is sort of a part of the city. It is the size of 20 Olympic pools. You could fit the entire Statue of Liberty inside it almost, with just the tip of the torch poking out. A huge, huge tank. The idea is that the runoff, the excess, the surge from all that rain will go there instead of overwhelming the sanitation network, and it will stop sewage spilling out into the river. The water is going to be cleaned in that tank, and it will then be sent back into the river once it's cleaned. So basically, rainwater comes into this massive, massive tank underground. It's then being transported through a tunnel next to Austerlitz train station and close to the 350-year-old university hospital that sits beside it, down to a separate treatment plant, and then back into the river. So really clever, like, what, basically a massive aquarium pump cleaning system, effectively, they've put in on the river. And the reason they're doing this is because obviously Paris is hosting the Olympics in 2024. And the idea is to have swimming events in the river. There's also the plan for the Olympic opening ceremony taking place on the river. I think the biggest opening ceremony they've ever planned for the Olympics. And I believe for the first time it's happening outside of a stadium and along the River Seine, which is going to be very dramatic if they can get rid of the E. coli. In 2022, experts measured levels of bacteria at the planned locations for Olympic events and found that 90% of the samples were already clean enough for swimming, which was good. So they've got this system up and running. They're hoping that when it really kicks in, it's going to, you know, clean even more with the river, and it's going to be ready for the Olympics. The problem is, this has been an issue for some time in Paris, right? So the city's current mayor, Anne Hidalgo, made an election promise about this, but it's been promised throughout the decades, all the way back to Jacques Chirac, the former president of France, declaring in 1990 that it would be done by 1993. 30 years later, we're still trying to make it happen. So it's been promised before. There's a lot of doubt around this, a lot of pessimism from the French, which is unusual, but there you go.
Are these individual pools within the river, or are these just cordoned off areas in sections of the river? So what I'm basically saying is, do they have like a base and they're just using the water that's in the river? It's going to flow in and out. So they have like a concrete base or sides and things like that. Or is it just, here's a section of the river, here's the lanes and it's clean, so you're going to swim in it. So all the silt and all the sediment at the bottom still there and all that yuck stuff.
Yep, all the shopping trolleys, all the little Citroens.
The Renaults.
Little Citroens.
Maybe a bicycle with a basket and a baguette on the front.
A million lime bikes.
It's a good question, Liam. So basically there's two things. For the Olympics, you've probably seen the video, there are people diving off platforms and swimming in the river as part of the triathlon event. So they are swimming directly in the Seine. Longer term, they've got these sort of like lidos that are on the side of the river that do use river water that are cleaned and that you can swim in. It's actually not dissimilar to that pool over at Bondi Beach, which is on the waterfront there. You know that one, Liam?
Sorry, when you say Lido, do you mean Lido?
Oh.
I'm not even getting into this.
Yes, mate, the rock pools, yeah, at Bondi Beach, yep. So that's similar to that. I thought that would be the case, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem like it's getting somewhere this time. They have actually built this thing. We've got construction footage in the video. You can see it's happening. They've got a big focus for the Olympics. I have to say a lot of comments on the YouTube video have been, it's a shame that they had to take the Olympics for this to really happen and get accelerated.
Mm-hmm.
There are tests ongoing. There are some test events for the Olympics that had to be cancelled because E. coli was detected. But they say they're on track for it. They took samples in, so specifically here, we've got June the 6th and July the 19th in 2023 for a triathlon event. that did show safe levels for swimming according to the specifications set out by the World Health Organization. So it's not perfect, but it's getting cleaner and it's getting to the point where they are going to be able to do the swimming events there for the Paris 2024 Olympics. Whether it works longer term and keeps the river clean is going to be a big question. But it's interesting. As I said, there are other cities doing this. London, most notably, has got the Thames Tideway Tunnel. Zurich and Munich have cleaned their rivers. Berlin and Amsterdam are starting their own projects. And, I mean, less successfully, but the LA 2028 Olympic team have sent water and sanitation officials to Paris to study the cleanup. Whether they're going to be able to come back to LA and make it happen, I don't know, but we'll find out.
Sounds like we're heading to a B1M team breaststroke race. That's what it sounds like, mate.
Well, how have you got that from what I've been talking about?
Sounds like we're going to have to go test it ourselves, mate. Mm.
Would you guys swim in this?
No.
No. No. I wouldn't. Would you?
Took us a while to think about that one.
You wouldn't.
I mean, there's so many chemicals up. I mean, I'd probably be more scared about the chemicals I'm pumping in there onto your skin and, you know, opening your eyes. Taking a mouthful.
Chlorinated.
No, I think, man, it'd be amazing, though. In the middle of Paris, just going for a swim.
Would
hot
it?
Day, 35 degrees.
Would it?
Yeah. I would.
Yeah. It does get hot in Paris, doesn't it, in the summer. They have like 40 degree days.
Very hot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it does.
At least there's no great white sharks, Liam. Hey, at least we won't get bitten in two.
That's true, right?
Swings and roundabouts. Eco-like, great white shark.
Look, I always wonder whenever they... I sometimes watch those YouTube videos of those guys. They have like magnets and they go around Amsterdam and they go around the Thames and things like that. And like Regent's Canal in London. And they chuck it in there and they're always pulling random stuff out.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know why, ever since moving to London, whenever I'm in a European city, I'm always like, I wonder if there's any bodies down there.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, right?
100%, yeah. 100%. But the tide might have taken away some of the remains. That's the thing. That's the, you know, genius of it, isn't it? You know? Yeah. Didn't that recently happen, actually? Not to get too...
There Fred, was a thing where
the dude, no, the alkali
well, there was a thing over in Lake Mead in well, the Arizona Nevada border where the Hoover Dam is, where that lake has been lower than ever for like its lowest it's ever been or something, and as it's got lower and lower, certain like mafia relics have been revealed, like there's sort of abandoned cars, there was a body found inside a drum. There was like chests of stuff discovered, like
really
from the 1930s. Yeah, that were like dropped in this river. So
wow,
yeah,
that happened when they were building the Docklands, like the Canary Wharf estate, when they were digging like the foundations and draining some of the stuff, because that was like a hotbed for like the Craze brothers and all of these East London crime syndicates and gangsters. You know, it's funny how infrastructure development can actually bring out these layers of history, which we know, you know, it does that, but you kind of think of older history, not more recent, like the 60s and recent crime, I suppose. Yeah.
We should just say these are allegations and the organized crime gangs of East London deny the allegations. just for balance, because we like a bit of balance in this podcast. We also like not being chopped up, so you know.
France seems to have a few more of these things, I think. Like, it's easy to, especially if you're in Europe, it's easy to forget how big France is. And I was on holiday years ago when I was a kid in Bernie Riviere in France, right? Not a million miles away from Paris. And my dad and I went to the local bar, like local pub. And my dad could speak very broken French, like a little bit of French, like to get by. And these guys, yeah, apparently.
Monster Luke.
Very good. Au revoir, mate. Au revoir. My dad was chatting to these people and they were like, oh, yeah, there's resistance tunnels nearby. We were like, oh, okay. Like, what do you mean? Like, oh, from the war, from the Second World War. We were thinking, oh, it's a museum. And like, no, we went on this trail up this hill into these woods and we found the French Resistance tunnels there. And there was an old 1940s, like, burnt out Citroen car, like, at the entrance. And we had these huge, like flashlights, went through in there. There was a chapel in there. It was the most bizarre, like, adventure ever. It was amazing. And it was just left. It was left as it was. Yeah, and I was thinking, I don't know if you'd have that in the UK. It'd be, like, monetized and turned into, like, a museum instantly, you know.
They are actually doing that with the London tunnels. They are converting the old... there were secret tunnels under Bond Street, I think, where there was like a listening post, is now being converted into a, you know, high-end bar and hotel, 007 style. So,
oh, we did
talk about it a few months back. Yeah, I think they're still going through planning applications, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when the waters of the Seine in Paris suddenly run clear. What are you going to see down there? All sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
strings of garlic, you know.
Jacob Garlic. He's just going to pop his head up. All right.
An accordion, perhaps. Maybe the cigarette stub from someone who dropped it on Notre Dame. All sorts will become clear. Anyway, guys. Paris is undertaking a huge project to clean the River Seine. This is a very cool feat of infrastructure and engineering, and a very, very clever system that is going to have a big impact on this city, not just for the Olympics, but I think for the wider city, downstream of the city, and including the other bits the environment it touches. I think for wildlife, it's going to be huge as well. So, again, the power of infrastructure, the power of construction. Sorry for the conspiracy theory chat, but we had a good old chat about what might be under the Seine. Let us know what you find or what you might see down there. And guys, don't forget to check out this video over on the B1M. Get your comments coming into us here at the podcast over at podcast@theb1m.com. So today's episode is sponsored by Trimble Construction. With over 500,000 users, Viewpoint for Projects is trusted by Europe's largest construction companies to manage their projects, including the likes of Wilmot Dixon, Bellway Homes, Vinci, and many more, all of whom use VFP to simplify project information management. VFP lets you easily share and collaborate on documents and drawings with revision control, workflows, and review and markup features while adhering to rigorous security standards, as highlighted by recently obtaining the Ministry of Defence's SIDAR DART accreditation, which is pretty high-level stuff. It's incredible it's got that. Guys, you can learn more by clicking the link down there in the podcast description.
Now, Viewpoint was used on the Triptych Bankside project, right? Something that I've been keeping up to date with on one of my little Skyscraper City forums threads. Yeah, so I've seen that gradually been built. And I was actually at the Tate Modern when was that, last month, to see the Yayoi exhibition there. But while I was at the Tate, I was like, oh, you've got to go to the viewing platform.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you come out, go to the right where the viewing platform is, you see Triptych Bankside there. And it's an impressive project. The cladding is different, but in a good way.
Yeah,
I like it.
I know what you mean, mate, because it's like that area of London, there isn't great architecture flying up. Sorry to offend any architects listening. That building in particular stands out. It's different. It's nice looking. And it's got that quite, as you say, that quite complicated curved facade. So, and like you say, Viewpoint for Projects was used on that project, making information flow easier and more straightforward. So, yeah, it's out there. It's in the world. As we said, it's being used by some huge contractors right across Europe. Guys, check it out. That's down there in the podcast description. More information on Viewpoint for Projects, a really fantastic tool. And a massive thanks to Trimble Construction for sponsoring today's episode. Also in the news this week, we're heading down to Brisbane, Australia. Brizzy, one of my favourite Australian cities. One of my top three Australian cities, I'd say. Because this place is seriously upping its skyscraper game, right? New plans have been submitted for a 265-metre breathing tower, a very nice structure, interspersed with trees and plants at 25 Mary Street. Now, this is led by KS Property and designed by Koichi Takada Architects. The building's going to feature around 527 apartments, not being too specific, 527 apartments across its 71 stories. Very nice looking structure, I have to say. The reason it is 265 meters and one of the tallest buildings in Brisbane is actually because of the airport flight paths. So skyscrapers in the CBD are capped at a height of 274.3 meters, which I know sounds specific, but it's actually 900 feet. So if approved, 25 Mary Street would end up becoming basically the second tallest building in Brisbane, just behind, I mean literally just behind, the 269-meter Brisbane Sky Tower. Now, we've talked a lot on this podcast about trees on buildings, but I have to say, if it looks this good, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's because of what the facade design's like with that, how it's kind of like a waterfall where the plants are all hanging over and it just kind of looks like, it actually looks like nature?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
It's not tree covered. This, there's sort of levels as you go up. It's kind of a bit like Australia 108 with these kind of pop out bits as you go up. And like, it's not covered in plants. The first render, the angle it's taken from, makes it look like there's more plants, but I think it's well done, it's tastefully done.
Yeah
I like it.
How cool is the Aboriginal artwork on it too?
Yeah, really like that.
I think that looks great.
Yeah, I like that. Australia's kind of developing its own style with its skyscrapers and tall buildings, isn't it? Like Fred, you just said it looks a bit like Australia 108. Is it the same architect? Or are they different architecture? Yeah. See, that's funny, isn't it? That there seems to be this style that's developing in that part of the world. You wouldn't see this elsewhere. Like I looked at it and I immediately knew it was Australian. Because of the
sunshine,
sort of organic, the sunshine,
kangaroos. Yep.
Liam just waving in the corner of the photo.
did you say Brisbane's your third favorite city in Australia, Fred?
Yeah, mate.
Huh.
No, it's in my top three. I wouldn't say where it is, but it's in my top three.
Oh. Yeah, I'm wondering, have you been there?
Have you just stopped in the airport?
No, I've only been to Sydney ever in Australia.
Ah, okay.
But they're hosting the Olympics, so.
Oh, yeah, in like 2058, whenever it is. Lots of nice comments in this one. People saying, even without the greenery, the indigenous art is a great choice. The viewing levels are a nice visual break of the building. Ooh, very nice comment. People saying it's good to see. Now, who's this? Sorry, people saying. What am I saying? Jaden, a guy called Jaden, is saying, it's great to see Brisbane getting featured more. Let's hope it gets approved. Well, yeah, we will feature Brisbane more if you build stuff like this, rather than that other dross you've been putting up. Lots of people saying it's stunning. People put in the Bluey emoji. We like that because Bluey is from Brisbane. Big up, Bluey. Someone else for balance calling it a greenwashed tapestry. Lots of love, generally. Two comments I want to pick out in particular. Sam, fantastic, loyal Sam, saying, even if the greenery doesn't work, I still think the architecture looks great. Completely agree with that, Sam. Well said. And our mate, Arthur Kaspler, who came along to our event at Sydney Opera House, said, love to see more vertical gardens in Australia. Also hoping South Bank by Beulah is built soon and they are accurate to the renders. I agree, mate. Looking forward to seeing that one go up.
Oh, very good. Yeah, looking forward to seeing what comes from the city, because it looks like they're putting a lot of effort, a lot of time into it. So let's hope it looks as good as the render, mate.
Yeah.
It doesn't get value engineered.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah. Big up Brizzy. As I said, my top three favourite Australian city. Guys, get your comments coming about this one over at podcast@thebnm.com. We want to hear from you. Next, we're swinging over to Beijing for a project we've been tracking a while on this podcast and across the B1M, actually. This is the new Beijing City Library. It's officially opened its doors now. This is designed by Snetta, powered by photovoltaics. This is the one that features this sculpted learning landscape inside, enclosed by this massive 16-meter glass wall with these columns rising up from the middle of it that then fan out to create this tree canopy structure above. I have to say, you guys can obviously have your view. Let me know what you think. But I think for a building that matches the renders, this is absolutely outstanding. I think it's an incredible piece of architecture. And it's fantastic to see something be delivered. I think it's better than the renders, to be honest. It's actually better than its original design. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to second that, mate. I think this is stunningly gorgeous. It looks like, I mentioned Dune part two earlier. This could be in a sci-fi film.
Yeah.
Easily. But it's still humane. You know, like even I think I remember when we did chat about the renders from this, didn't we? The proposal images of this, right?
We did, yeah. A couple of times,
ago.
We talked about the renders and then the construction pictures and then now the finished pictures, yeah.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It works really well. I think I was skeptical about how it would actually work, like where the books would go and whatnot, but it works tremendously. This is possibly one of the coolest projects we've talked about on here.
Wow. You think?
Yeah.
It is pretty
cool. I do, mate. Yeah. If this was in the UK, this would be an instant landmark, or in Europe, this would be an instant landmark, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. My kids like this one. So my daughter's really into her artwork at the minute, and she said, oh, wow, what an incredible library. And then she went away and did some drawings of her own library based on this. So there you go. Getting kids into architecture. That is an incredible.
Really? Did she actually? That's. Yeah, do you know what, though, mate? That's a massive. That's a testament to this design.
It is, isn't it?
Big time. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, there's wall-to-wall positive feedback in the comments. Just for balance, we've got someone called Fizzy Lizzie. That's her at name on Instagram. Saying it's gorgeous, but if you're in a wheelchair, this library is probably not for you. Yes,
good point.
It's a lot of steps here. I'm not sure. I'm sure there is accessible access routes. I'm sure there are lifts, it looks like, within these structures. But yeah, good point. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's architecture at its best. It's bold. It's different. They've stuck to the vision. They've built it and made it reality. Yeah, great, great stuff. I love it. Swinging over to the email inbox. What have you got for us this week, Luke?
Right, we've got an Apple Podcasts reviews from John Ayers, who says, my childhood has been turned upside down. He says, morning, Ben and Luke. Evening, Liam. I don't know if that's a typo, if that's a joke that I don't get.
Ben?
Yeah. Who's Ben?
I don't know.
I was called Ted Mills the other day. Someone was saying they're a big fan, really big fan of Ted Mills.
No, they didn't.
It did, mate.
You look big like fan. A Ted. You big look like fan. A Ted, actually. You could be Gary. a Theodore.
Just get on with the email. Come on.
Right. Working in the construction industry as a welder, I rather enjoy listening to you boys whilst I'm laying down a weld. Thanks for the great entertainment during my long and lonesome shifts. But now, for the real reason, my comment is named what it is. First off, I'm an American born in the late 90s. I now have a year and a half year old son and started to let him watch some of the old TV shows that I watched while I was a kid. One of them being Bob the Builder. Only a couple weeks ago did I realise that Bob the Builder was a British TV show. Growing up, I never knew that, and going back now and rewatching them, it just blew my wife and I's heads. Also, side note, Akron, Ohio was the first place in the US to have the first interstate highway, and currently they are redoing a whole overpass junction because it hasn't really been updated since its first opening. And then he goes, blah, 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 blah. Allegedly. Yeah, apparently they're crossing this bridge, blah, blah, blah. Allegedly. Anyways, keep up the great work, gents. So, listen, thanks, Fred. Mate. Fred, are we going to be doing a video on the Akron, Ohio? Akron, Ohio?
Damn it, mate. I mean, it's been a pretty slow week in the inbox by the sounds of it, if we're reading out stuff like this. What was his name again?
John.
No, and he called me Ben. Great. Yeah.
I love that. That's bants.
That's nice, like, though, that his kid's getting Bob the Builder. I love that. And it's nice he listens to the podcast while he's welding. So thanks, mate. Shout out to, what's his name? Dave? Pete?
John.
Oh, yeah.
Not Gary.
Probably Ben,
John.
Though, so.
Bob the Builder as well, the founder of Bob the Builder. Big full circle moment. Is from Basildon. So.
Has he got a statue in town square?
That's where I grew up. Yeah, I think so.
It's being made into a Hollywood movie.
Is
produced
it?
And voiced by Jennifer Lopez. Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez is voicing Bob the Builder.
She's like executive producer on it or something. I know there's a lot of questions come from that. I don't know any more about it, but it's getting the Hollywood treatment. I think it's Mattel, and they're doing like a Barbie on it, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, you can be in construction too, kids.
Yeah. Hoping to get a role in it as Ken, but we'll see what happens. anyway, guys, please get some emails coming in so we can read out better ones than that.
No, it's a good review. It's a good review from John. Poor John.
How many stars do we get?
5.
Oh.
We've been getting some cracking reviews lately, actually. So keep them coming, lads. Yeah.
Great. Great. Thanks, John. Yeah, keep your reviews coming in, guys. Keep those 5-star reviews coming in. Send us your messages, podcast@thev1m.com. And we'll see you next week. Anything you want to sign off with, Luke or Liam? Because I feel I always do the sign off. Why don't you guys do it this week?
Au revoir.
Oh, yeah. All right. Get Liam to do the outro.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. We'll do that.
Also, big thanks to Trimble Construction for sponsoring today's episode. Don't forget, there's a link down there in the podcast description. Go and click it. Just click it. We'd really appreciate it. Go and check out Viewpoint for Projects. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Oh, I should have looked up Let's Go in French.
And there was a wild boar as well. We saw a wild boar on the way there.
Sweet. Are you a fan of the IBM building, Luke?
No. What, in London? The brutalist one?
It's down by the Triptych building, isn't it?
A bit for IBM's closer to National National Theatre, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I can't stand it.
I went into the IBM building. I can't remember. Why was I there for it? Yeah, why was I? I was there for something to do with work. I went to a presentation or something.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, the inside is when I was at B1M. The inside is very modern. Obviously, it's IBM's building. It's very, very up-to-date, modern. But the outside is just disgusting, isn't it?
I know. It looks like it belongs in Belarus, doesn't it? It is an absolute...
It looks like a bomb shelter.
Yes, mate. It's outrageous.
AK-47s popping out the windows, like monitoring the Thames.
We built some absolute dross, like post-war. The National Theatre's okay. I don't mind it, but it's overrated by a lot of like architectural people.
Mange-tu?
Does it really?
Yeah, because the degenerative disc disease is where the discs eventually disappear.
Sorry, I'm just getting that. Good thing it's during the... Yeah. Go on.
Alonzi. Say it. I know... Luke, no. Alonzi. How you say Let's Go?
Alonzi.
Alonzi. Go on.
I can't. The deadlifts scare me.
Beefcakes, mate.
Was that Gary wanting a cup of sugar?
That was. Yeah. It's interesting. Right. Yeah, let's have it.
That's what gets me with that. My son's doing the ancient Egyptians, and what gets me is like these tombs they have where like that room's been sealed for like 4,000 years.
Oh, man.
And someone's opening it for the first time and seeing objects that, like bikes and things and paintings and stuff that were made 4,000 years ago. It's weird.
The pronunciation quiz, he's like, that's funny, mate.
Yeah, Gary. I was, yeah, brunette, a bit miserable. Oh, it's Fred Mills.
That was so good. Yeah, we've kind of got a bit more cynical, a bit more miserable, but it like kind of works a little bit.
I'm enjoying this week. There we go. That's the bit after the title credits for you, Luke. You can put that right there.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, right at the end of the episode.
Allons. Allons-y.
Oh,
God.